Good morning and welcome to the Ask Weldon Show, episode 244. Today, I have three questions for you. Optimizing pizza delivery and helping teammates communicate and vomiting after meditation. That one's interesting. Let's listen to it. And I'm back. It's been 8 weeks since the last time I produced a show, and I have two excuses. Obviously, I'm supposed to say, there's no excuse for it. I should have been here, everybody. But I do have two excuses. Number one, I was 6 weeks in LA with TSM. And during that time, I tried to produce shows at various different times in the evening. And every single time, the players' audio was coming through. And they were, invariably, during the times that I was recording or streaming, they would be leaking picks and just talking about champions. And I didn't want any sort of information to escape that house in terms of like things that could disadvantage the team in playoffs. And so I just did not produce any content because I was too afraid of any background pickup or somebody saying something randomly when I was live on stream. It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it for my little video to like endanger a team of five people who've spent their whole season training for a specific moment, right? So I just kind of gave up on that for the time being and just figured I'd do it when I got back. I didn't, it was a 2 week gig, which became another 2 weeks, which became another 2 weeks. So it kind of just kind of kept snowballing forward. And then when I got back, I just needed 2 weeks off. Just had to have a break. I've been shooting my bow, reconnecting with my kids, and enjoying some time off, not working out or doing anything in particular, just trying to get my house back in order. But here I am. And we're back. We're back to our regular daily schedule. Hopefully, we'll get a show out every single day from now on. So I'll see you this morning and next morning and the next morning. As always, the show that you're seeing on YouTube right now is live. twitch.tv/mindgamesweldon every single evening at 6:30 or 7:30 p.m. LA time. I'm not really sure which, but just go to my channel and turn on notifications and you will get the notification. All right. So let's jump into the show. All right, the first question here is from somebody named Saw141. I'm hoping it's not named after the movies. He seems like a cool guy, though, from his questions. So, let's jump into it.
Hi, Weldon. I've been a fan since about 2015. I wanted to call and thank you and then also get your thoughts on me using some of the skills that you had helped teach me in esports. And apply them, because you are a sports psychologist. I believe that your philosophies and your practices can be applied to different sports and athletic activities. And I consider my job to be one of those. I'm a pizza delivery driver, and it's a little funny to me, but I like to think of it as having a skill ceiling, where pizza delivery is not an incredibly difficult job, but I found myself, thanks to you and other motivators, that by keeping my body healthy and by practicing, you know, good mental habits like understanding the layout of my city, going as fast as I can, running when I can, I get good exercise and I in turn make more money. So I wanted to thank you, and I also want to get your thoughts on what I can do to improve in this type of job, if you'd be happy to.
All right, so very interesting question, and I love it because it hits exactly on what the theme of my brand is about in the first place, which is, let's take something that not only has kind of a less benefit for humankind, but is also actively like harming you, such as video game playing, and let's turn it into something that is genuinely useful for your own personal development as well as for youth development in a society. Okay, so the goal here with esport has always been to take something that can possibly harm you and to do it the right way, so that at the end, whether you go pro or not, you have something beneficial, like that you've developed transferable skills, social and emotional skills that you can use in other areas of your life. So, as you hit on, this is something that can essentially be tackled in any realm. You can do this in esports, sure. You can also do it in pizza delivery. And it sounds like you already have the mindset, which is the most important part, of how can I be the best version of this possible? Let me pursue something. Let me pursue mastery of something. And you use that to motivate you to do stuff outside of it. So you're pursuing pizza driving, right? But it's motivating you to work out and to get fit and to go to the gym and to eat right and to think right and to have better nutrition and to take keep, you know, maintenance your car. So all of these things that you can use in the task that you're doing to try to optimize that, you use them as motivation to accomplish something outside of it. That's essentially the correct thing to do. So for that, I would say, like, do an audit. Do an audit of what you think is important for you outside. So for example, start with your body. You have nutrition, you have fitness. Set a plan and square away a plan for those things, that how they're important to you and how they relate to your performance in your job, and what do you consistently need to do in terms of habits to both satisfy yourself as a person and satisfy your pursuit of excellence in that craft of pizza delivery. Make a plan around that, and then use that motivation to kind of enact that plan, to have the daily grind kind of non-thinking, getting up at 5 a.m. to get to the gym so that you can get to your shift at 8 kind of like mindset that you need for that kind of thing. Sleep, also throw that in there with fitness. The second thing you can do is you can say, okay, well, what hobbies am I interested in pursuing that I can tangentially relate to this optimization that will allow me to, that I can use as a motivational source. So one of those things you talked about, mapping. So essentially, like, brain training, memorizing areas, having a visualization of everything, not needing MapQuest, that kind of stuff. Like MapQuest, I guess it's called Google Maps nowadays for those of you who didn't grow up in the 90s. But something like what the London taxi drivers do. So if you look up London taxi driving test, and you could read the book, that covers a little bit of it. I'm sure there's much better books for this, so I won't recommend the book that I was thinking of, but maybe I will. What is the name of the book? I think it's in my Kindle. One second. Come on. This is one of my more interesting books that I sometimes recommend. It's actually horribly written, to be honest. I think it's a joke, but oh, here it is. Peak: Secrets from the New Science of Expertise by Anders Ericsson and Robert Poole. PEAK. That book goes into the idea of developing mastery in anything, in terms of like the psychology, the psychoneurology of it. Maybe just the psychology of it. I don't think they really go into the neurology. They think they do, but really they're talking about like psychological frameworks. It's revealing a kind of underpinning neurology, but they don't go into like the physicality of it. So anyway, in that book, they talk about the London taxi drivers and how they develop an expertise around London that is exceptional. And that seems to be like kind of the thing you're doing with the knowledge. Then there's the visualization, right, of driving. So you're driving and you're constantly trying to be in the moment and visualize everything around the car and hold that in perception. So you're visualizing lines and the road surface and all of the competing traffic and like trying to make sure that you're the safest humanly possible, that you're literally the best driver, you know, within your bubble of radius, and that you have accounted for every single possibility that can happen. And you're trying to keep that as an ongoing active visualization. So you're practicing your visualization capability, which is really powerful. You can call that imagery, I guess, instead of visuals, because you're going to be using more than one sense for it, not just visualization. That's kind of a transferable skill in a way, but not as transferable as you would like to think that it is, I'm sure. And then there's other hobbies you could say, like car. Maybe you want to be a mechanic by the end of this, or you want to be able to maintenance your car. So you start to learn about it. You start to think how you can like make sure that it's always in tune. It will always start as fast as possible, that you've taken care of everything that goes in that, that you know how to replace every single part, that you have a spare parts thing in your trunk that allows you to maintenance the most basic stuff, that you can take care of a flat, you know, in no time at all, these kinds of things. You can push that to an extreme that gives you a set of skills that you're interested in. The fact that I can kind of take apart and fix my own engine is a skill that I've used throughout my life, and so it's something that's always useful to know. and to have. And now they have these great electric torque wrenches. So instead of needing a compressor and an air supply, you can literally have like an electric torque wrench in your trunk that allows you to do car work on the side of the road. It's pretty insane. You know, the hammer drill, you know what I'm talking about? The and like takes nuts on and off. Anyway, that's my answer. And I hope that it's useful. And thank you so much for calling in and giving me such an interesting topic to cover. Let's jump into question number two, shall we? All right, this question is from Nicholas.
Hey, Weldon. I recently started meditating. And one thing I've noticed, or more so has happened to me, is if I feel bloated at all, so like I had a little too much tea one day, and like today, as in a couple minutes ago, I had some like chili cheese fries or something, and I was like just a little bloated, but after meditating, I had to vomit both times from just like overeating or overdrinking a little bit. Is this normal, or is it something I should be worried about? Because like I normally don't throw up that much, you know, I'm not like quick to throw up. All right, thank you. I know it's a weird question.
All right, Nicholas. So I was super curious when I heard this. I was worried, first of all. So I went and searched it. And it seems to be within the realm of what is possible when you meditate. So I don't want to say like it's a normal thing, as in more than 50% of people this happens to. Probably not. It's probably more in the aberrant thing, you know, like really, really small percentage of people it happens to. But it is something that happens when you meditate. Increasing a body awareness leads to like sensations, perceptions of your body that you are not aware of. There are people who get nauseous. So nausea is the common one. There are people that get very, very emotional, that uncover a hidden trauma, that have really black periods. This is something that kind of hits on a side of psychotherapy that is important to talk about. So psychotherapy is a word that means therapy through talking, essentially. So anything like within the philosophical realm, if you're solving a problem through talking about it or thinking about it, essentially you're doing psychotherapy, right? So there are side effects, just like you take statins for your cholesterol and then there's side effect impact on your liver that's bad for you. There are side effects to psychotherapy that can be bad for you. Some of the side effects of psychotherapy are depression. So you can try to cure depression by talking about depression and get more depression. You know, impact on family relationships. Psychotherapy can damage family relationships. As you're pursuing yourself and trying to improve yourself, you can lose your spouse, lose your sister, lose your parents in ways that like are detrimental to your life in the short term. So there are bad side effects to this quote unquote drug, psychotherapy, or right, it's not a drug, but I'm saying like when you think of side effects, you think of a drug, you should think of it in terms of that for any sort of treatment. And certainly for meditation, there are side effects that are not comfortable and not necessarily beneficial for your life, such as nausea is one of them, depression, black terrors, existential crises. There's all sorts of things that can kind of go wrong with meditation and give you a side effect. Generally speaking, the reason we take drugs is because the beneficial impact or effect far outweighs the side effects. So the impact on your life would be, let's say, much better than just nausea, would be bad. And hopefully the side effects, in terms of psychotherapy, the side effects generally go away. And hopefully for meditation, it's a similar kind of thing. And this goes away. But obviously now, this is almost 8 weeks after you asked the question, and almost 2 months after you asked the question. And I hope that you have had some future experience with it. And it has either faded or that you have solved it in some way and it hasn't continued to plague you. And I remember I did this question, I've done this whole show and this particular question about 7 weeks ago when I was at the TSM house. And unfortunately, in the background, there was recording of some of the team saying stuff about some champions. And so I couldn't really post it. But I hope that now you find this answer on the podcast or something, and it is helpful to you. All right, last question of the day. Before I jump into that, I wanted to remind you guys to check out the Mac program. We are so close to the app, so close. I just need a spurt, a little spurt of funding in order to buy the last set of programming that we need to complete this app. I'm kind of hidden behind all the advertisement here now, but the current iteration of the course right now is called the Mac program, mindgames.gg/MAC. This is what I'm turning into the app. So all the purchases essentially go towards that purpose. And it is a training program that does everything that I do in this brand and in this kind of like training that I do with pro teams, but in video format. So it's 7 videos for 7 weeks, so 49 videos. And you essentially learn mental resilience and mental toughness in the same way that I would teach you to a pro team. And you can use the code AskWeldon to get a $5 discount. And you should purchase it now because it's going away soon and it's going to turn into an app. And if you have access to it now, you will be grandfathered into that permanently. And support the development of the app. That's about it. That's what I got to say about it. So let's jump into the final question of the show.
Walden, my name is Enoch, and my question stems from playing Overwatch, but it pertains to any game chat. When playing competitive, oftentimes I'll try to lighten moods by saying good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, and try to help levy stress from previous matches or to boost confidence in reserved or timid people. Now, if someone is audibly angry or hostile towards a teammate, I'll try to make them acquiesce by suggesting they ask for help or to give the team a plan they'd like to follow. I understand that the person has unreal expectations for a group of random people more than likely, though I'd rather the person become more relaxed so they stop dropping morale and so that my actions might actually raise it instead. Anyways, what I'm asking for is how to better communicate with teammates so I might help resolve these really high tense emotions from people and to help, you know, more reserved people speak up. Thank you.
So generally speaking, the second thing that you want to do is easier, helping people speak up when they're more reserved. And the first thing you want to do is more of a long-term thing. So it's harder to resolve high-stress situations with a perpetrator because you have to know that person. Or you have to guess correctly the first time what's wrong with them. For example, maybe the reason that this person is lashing out and bullying a teammate is because they're daughter screwed up their morning, or their dog died last week, or they're going through a divorce, or they got laid off at work, or they're not happy with their work life at all and they have to go to work in an hour, or they got trolled in the last game and they know this is the last game of the day and the game is not going very well and they're like, I'm not going to be able to play for another 4 days and this is my one chance I had to play this week, and they're raging about it, right? So your job is to say the thing the person needs to hear, not what you want to say. But that's really hard when that person's problem is probably nothing related to the game, right? It's the stressors are surrounding the game that are causing the game to be stressful for them. Generally speaking, it's better to focus on the people who are being bullied or who aren't speaking up and make sure that their experience is great, and to kind of like be a calming effect or a testify as a witness. So if you think in the terms of like how the Christian churches do it, they're like, testify as a witness, live your life as the Lord has proclaimed it. You're supposed to like look like a Christian, and then people go, hey, that guy's pretty cool, I want to be like him, and then they want to be Christian. So that's one of the best ways to handle mentoring people who are losing it, is to just be a really good example of what kind of actions you should do and how you should communicate in the game. Because you don't know what it is that you can do to unkey them, right? You could talk to them. You could spend a lot of time being like, hey, man, how's it going? Like, is something going wrong in your life? And just listening to them. But then you're a freaking therapist in the middle of the game. So I don't know if you have time for that. It's generally speaking, it's better to work on the people who are being bullied or silent and just activate them. You know, be like, hey, what do you think? What do you want to do? This is a good idea. I see the effort you're putting in. Thanks for that. You can, the main things that you should do are, you should take invisible effort and make it visible. So any sort of things that they're doing that are like consistent, worthwhile, good effort that are being lost, you promote it and you say, I see that. People want to be seen. And then the other thing you can do is you can engage with them just in discourse. So one-on-one conversation. Or, just bring them into the call, into the decision-making process, and support them in some way, and then they'll start kind of feeling this tie to you in terms of leadership, and that their actions have an impact, and they'll start trying to do something about it. That is the answer, and I commend you for your effort in terms of trying to pull the teams together, and good luck. Keep at it. It's a skill that you get better at the more that you practice. So keep testing phrases, trying things, learning to recognize people's archetypes sooner so that you can, you know, be like, this is the person that needs this kind of communication, and see if you can figure it out. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning into the show today. Make sure to check out the training app, not the training app, the training coursework kind of thing, Mac program. MindGames.gg/MAC, use code AskWeldon. And check this out live, twitch.tv/MindGamesWeldon, every single evening in LA time. And I will see you tomorrow.